Welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get Go Cafe and Market, where they're open for business 24/7, serving hot, fresh food. Hi, Moan.
Hey, DK. What's going on, man?
Nothing. Did you apply for the GM job? Did you do that?
I didn't, but I probably should have, just because it seems like a nice gig. Not because it's fun. There's a lot of crap that goes along with it, but yeah, it seems like a nice gig.
And Omar Khan, of course, is the Steelers' choice. The team, let's put it this way, they didn't exactly walk down the hall and knock on the next cubicle, did they? I mean, this was 16 interviews, 6 second interviews, yeah, including Omar Khan and Brandon Hunt, before Omar, the guy at the next cubicle, got the job. What do you think, first of all, your just initial impressions of him getting the job?
Glad it's somebody that we know. Glad it's somebody that's going to embody what Pittsburgh is. I think we've seen, you know, there's a lot of fuss made about we need an outside guy and we need all of this and we need fresh eyes. But let's be honest, the Pittsburgh way has worked. And I know it's not 15 Super Bowls or it's not seven yet or all those types of things, but the model of consistency has been the same for a very long time. And it's been a whole bunch of insider promotion, too. With the sprinkling of guys outside, Ty Haley was a guy that was, you know, brought in outside of it. But the system in which everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid seems to be the right type of sweetness. You see what I'm saying?
I actually did.
You see? So it's more of that, and Omar is an extension of that, too. We know he's been interviewing for other jobs, other GM jobs for a while now. And I ultimately do think it was a little bit of him that didn't take those jobs. I definitely think he was a serious contender, and they weren't trying to Rooney rule him or anything like that. But Omar's a very bright guy. And I'll say this too, without skewing that line, he's one of those, one of the guys type of dudes.
What's that mean? What I'm
saying? No, like, I was flying through the airport one time, and he just pulled up on me just out of nowhere. And most of the time, front office people try to keep that separated.
Yeah, Omar, I've seen.
That's him, man. He's not flying first class, even though he could, you know, afford that type of stuff. And he's just real chill, very even keel type of guy, not a super high, super low guy. But he knows what competition is. He knows how to, of course, as you know, the numbers of who's worth what and how do you bring a team together. And he's been right next to Kev for years, just in general, like specifically right beside Kev with the way he's managed the team, literally in the building. So, this could be another model of consistency in which he's going to try to push forward the same way Kev has.
Well, let's talk about him standing next to Kev since you brought that up. Because here's my thing with him. Okay. I think of Omar the same way I think everybody in the football world thinks of him, which is he's the cap guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's the one that, and every time somebody signs a contract of some kind and everyone goes, Omar Khan, the cap genius, dun, dun, dun. And it's like, it's the only thing we'd heard about him. Now, yeah, if he's standing next to Kevin Colbert and he's standing next to his other scouts and he's processing information, is there a danger that maybe he starts thinking that he is a football scout guy? Do you follow me? Or does he actually have that football acumen? I don't know.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
He's, you know, just as much involved as anybody else when it comes down to that thing. I'd say this, anybody that's in that building is a football guy.
Okay.
All the way up to the film guys and all the way down. Like, we've had conversations with, you know, the staff in the kitchen, in the cafeteria. Like, they know the game.
They actually do.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm not making stuff up or trying not trying to paint a picture of, oh, this is just me gaslighting. No, they're that good. They understand everything about the game. Omar's not been in that building, and you don't get this job by just hanging on and just knowing the business. He's got to be, I'll say this, the role in which he's got to break down and watch film probably is going to escalate a little bit more, because who he chooses to bring in is part of his job. You know, you got to be able to still build a team. You got to know the type of guys that you're getting. Like Kev said, and everything that they're doing, you know, we look at the talent and we find the talent. It's on them to go ahead and flourish, be the flower that they know they're going to be as far as their careers go. When it comes to what Omar's doing, like, that's the other aspect of his job that he's got to take, I think, full steam ahead as far as what guy, what type of guy, what does he embody, and what does it do for this actual team? I'm looking forward to seeing what his first pick is going to be.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, we've mentioned a couple of times here, Kevin, and when Kevin retired just now, a lot of what we heard, including from you, was about the human, about the humanity. Yeah. And then we saw that come out, those emotions, when he walked past the trophies for the last time to go to that press conference with Mike Tomlin and everything else. I don't want to attach one human to another and say he really needs to be like Kevin Colbert or whatever, but that is going to be important in that role, isn't it? You're embodying who the Steelers are the way Kevin Colbert did for more than 20 years. Do you see what I'm saying?
Is
Omar that guy? Can he do that in his own way?
His attitude is going to allow him to be that guy, because he's not going to take anything overly personal when it comes down to the job. I do think he's going to lean on people that's been in those scout rooms more and more, and what did Kev do? I've seen Kev do these types of things. And yeah, you're right. We're hinging on the fact that the success of the Steelers has got to be very Kevin-like. And I think that's why it was easier for Mr. Rooney in the front office to make that decision of, Omar, you are the guy. This isn't a pass over. To be, hey, yeah, you deserve this. No, he had to have earned this. And I saw certain people saying they wish they'd have grabbed somebody else. But the way it operates inside of that building, everybody is on the same page. And I think that's what Omar comes into play as far as the decision making to make him the new GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers is everybody know that he was directly under Kev. And the way Kev's going to run it is going to be very similar. And there'll be some Omar Khan things. But in general, he knows it. He's been around the game. He understands the way a team is devised because he's the one that made everything fit. And trust me, the other aspect of what Omar has going on is we've had some crazy, whether it's Le'Veon's contract, whether it's AB's contract, trying to figure that out, whether that's been Ben, whether that's been mine, whether it's been Marquise's, all across the board, the decision to let, you know, Bud get franchised and then go. Like, this is just recent stuff. And he's been through all of these things. And to see him be under, he's been in Pittsburgh since 2001.
He has. That's something that people I don't think are even aware of.
And that ought to tell you, it's almost as if it's a bottom to the top type of climb that he's had. And it has been a long time. And before that, he was in the NFL in 1997 with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Omar also speaks, I think, like three or four different languages also.
He's an interesting individual, and it's going to be fascinating to see how he matures into this role. Although, again, it does seem kind of funny to say that since he's been around for such a long time. When we come back, let's talk a little about the defensive middle of the field. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Ramon, I was talking with Mason Cole this week at OTAs, and we were reminiscing, not necessarily in a positive way, at least not from the Pittsburgh perspective, about his effort in Minneapolis in clearing the way for 245 yards of Dalvin Cook. I know. The game that got Joe Green to criticize the Steelers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Cole said, you know, hey, you know, we can turn that around. We can, you know, we can be the guys that are doing that now. And I'm thinking, all right, that's pretty cool. But I'm also thinking, what is it that the Steelers will have done to address the middle of the field? Because the part of that that was so excruciating was that the Vikings just went boom. I mean, it was not messing around. It was like the first time anybody done that since Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville, remember?
Yeah. No doubt about it, man. It's got to be met by some angry guys. Let's just be completely honest with
you. All right, who's that? Is it Miles Jack? Is he angry guy?
Well, I'll tell you this. The angriest of either one of them that's going to start in the middle has to be Devin Bush.
It has to be, but will it be?
I don't know if we dove too much into, you know, him not being his fifth-year option not being picked up. I won't front. I know I give first-rounders a lot of, you know, crap just as far as the chances that they get and the expectations that they got to live up to. But I'd be pissed if I was him. You know, here he is hanging on the, you know, got all this baggage in his bag as far as moving up to go grab him. Like, they hadn't made a move like this since Troy Polamalu. from my understanding, going to get a guy like this in the first round. You are a legacy because your dad played in the NFL, which isn't his issue. It's just something that drags along with him. Coming from Michigan, you know, the way he played there, and I know the ACL kind of derailed him a little bit, but I still feel disrespected as far as not picking up my fifth-year option, because that means that I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and y'all don't trust me enough to get back on track with what you think I can do. So I'm playing both sides of just saying he's got to come out. I'm talking about fast. He's got to come out more angry, more concentrated in everything he do than no other year he's ever had before. Because if he has the opportunity to hit the market after that fourth year and they can't keep him that fifth, then he can hit his payday a whole lot sooner. You know, because that's the other side of playing the game and loving the game is you're trying to make a living out of it. And Devin is too young to be, you know, not being picked up as fifth-year option and labeled as a bust or, you know, all types of things that got to go along with that, because you were looking at the middle. We got Devin Bush, Miles Jack, and we got Robert Spillane as far as middle linebackers that we know and that we trust. And as far as pedigree goes, I'd almost say Devin Bush has the best out of all three of those guys, respectfully.
He should.
Yeah. But the difference is the tenacity and I guess the will to show it every single game, okay. Which is what something I've seen Miles Jack do in playing against him and watching him on film.
I know you like him. I can't help but take that same thought, though, and apply it to Bush, because there were times last year. Look, I'd like to think that all of us gave him a pass on the knee injury, okay? Everyone understands that it takes time to come all the way back from that. And when you're an athlete like Bush who relies on a single-step explosiveness, okay, every little bit matters. Mm-hmm. And when you lose that, this was the part that bothered me about him. It wasn't that. It was that he looked occasionally dispirited about it. He looked demoralized. And at the same time, things that maybe someone like me who's watching the film and saying, that's not much of an effort there by Devin Bush. When I hear the head coach go completely to bat for him, that tells me that the head coach knows what Bush was actually dealing with and trying to keep a positive mind frame instead of ripping him. Do you follow me?
Oh, yeah. And Coach T will allude to those things, and the DC will also. But, I know none of that means anything except for he gets one more year, and it's also he has that first-round tag, okay? He's going to get that shot. Not technically. He is still a starter in this league. Let's not misconstrue that. But I'd almost kind of say a little bit with, you know, the transition of Vinny going out and Devin being the guy moving back in, the leadership side of what was expected from him, maybe he just didn't know. And I don't want to give him that excuse, but you know, like I know, DK, it takes time to grow and to be able to understand how and why you play, and not why you play, but how you play, how to be a professional all the time, on top of having that year of trying to, you know, rehab that ACL back. I want to see him bounce back. Again, we know what Miles Jack got in from him. He also has some older dudes, and also the lack of having an injury, too, that led him, that showed him how to be a pro. And that defense early on for him with Calais on it and Ramsey on it, like, he was just able to play the game. Devin's got to be able to do that this year. Not just that, but lead them too.
When we come back on this fine program, we're gonna do a very different Hey Moan segment. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. In lieu of the normal Hey Moan, where, you know, there's just one question and I ask it for the person and then Ramon answers it, whatever. One of the things that comes this way a lot from people is, how do I leave the Hey Moan? Like, how do I do this? Okay, well, so our man George comes in here the other day into the headquarters of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and he's like, we just gave George a headset. George does Hey Moan, hijacks the show, basically. Everything else. And we had a lot of fun. Now, that's one way that you can do this. We usually tape this around 12:30, between 12:30 and 1 p.m. Eastern time. Now, that said, how you do this, Blake says here, and this could be today's Hey Moan. Hey Moan, 224 Fifth Avenue. I'll be guest hosting for the foreseeable future.
You know what? Let him in, DK. Let him in.
I love it. So what I'm going to do here is let you know that you can leave Hey Moan's on DK Pittsburgh Sports in the comments. We'll see every last one of them.
Yeah.
We'll go through it. And there's also YouTube has comments as well. The YouTube comments tend to be a little strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ooh. I'm gonna. This is what we're going to do today. I'm going to read some of these just to have some fun here.
I actually got one to my email today also.
Yeah, they come in a lot of different forms. First one comes from Trapped Out, who says, y'all twins, LOL. Me and Moan are twins.
Who would ever thought that?
Who would have thought, indeed? Yeah. You know, I'd like to think we get along.
No doubt. And I'll tell you, you're my brother for sure. But twins?
We are most definitely not twins.
We're not even like a year apart. Like, we got a couple years in between us, DK.
Somebody says, I want to be the next George. No lie. This is good stuff here.
Is George now the standard, DK?
I guess George is. Next one comes from Donald Copeland, who just says, foster insight, multiple flame balls.
And I got to clear up again because it's something I learned. You can't overstate something when it comes down to this. That is actually me in the comments. That's DK in the comments. It's not. I don't have anybody running my profile on
that's
YouTube.
Another one, too. Is this a Ramon bot? What is this?
No, it's not an auto reply. Like, I'm actually putting your name in, giving you an answer to it, and you could tell it's me.
Jeff Rossi says, hey, DK, what time do you guys stream this? I was thinking about stopping by the downtown HQ for some merch, but I didn't want to interrupt the taping. No, you're not interrupting. Just walk right in. We don't care here.
Yeah, a little bit of messy radio is good, or messy podcasting is good.
James Lawson says, I think your show should be added to Steelers Nation Radio. No, Steelers Nation Radio should be added to this network.
Come on.
Yeah.
Y'all go holler at them. Bring them down the street.
Honestly, here, Frostbite jumps in with, I agree with Ramon on the run game. It'll also help the new era of quarterback until the playbook is flowing with our passing game.
Yes.
See, sometimes they don't ask questions. It's just, hey, you know, I heard you.
Yeah, that's my statement. I thought that was pretty good. I've met Frostbite, too, by the way. Super cool guy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I've met him a few times around here.
Somebody else says, Stephen Orsini says, great job, George. See, I told you, man, George is after my job.
George got to get it together. He can't visit as often as he thought because then you and me will be out of a job.
We can do as long as I'm running through these. There's one serious one. It comes from James, who says, hey, Moan, what did the players really think of Colin Kaepernick and then others taking a knee in protest? And do you ever see him in an NFL uniform again? That's
man,
fair.
I think Colin's getting a little bit of a dip, dodge, dive, and dip out of just publicity. I do. I think the NFL knows they can lean on him. Think about it. The Raiders ended up saying that Gruden's his court case is going, you know, to trial. And then they release a statement they're working out random as hell, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Let me say this. The kneeling during the anthem is deeper than people made it, you know, deeper than people are giving it credit for.
At the time, right.
It's for people.
Yeah,
it was for equal rights, man. Like I tell anybody, I went on a tangent yesterday, and I'm glad you got, you know, in a little serious aspect of it, DK. The way we are as people sometimes is very disconnected when it comes to empathy, when it comes to understanding, feeling what other people feel. And I think initially that's where the movement of kneeling kind of lost its way because you only saw it your way. You can empathize with people to understand it their way as far as how they feel, what they go through, what they see. We're dealing with the tragedy of, the other day of
Uvalde, Texas, yeah.
And you see a bunch of stuff that's deflected away from the actual situation. I'm not going to go on where I sit on it, but we as people just got to get a little bit more understanding and empathy for people, not just, oh man, I feel for you. No. Like, put yourself there. Put in that school, put one of yours there. You know, and those injustices of all races, let's say that. But when it's highlighted as, you know, people of color, like, put yourself in those situations too, as we try to navigate, honestly, who we are as a people as of late. And maybe we all need a break from social media typing, that is, sometimes, you know, to really dive into it. So that's a deeper conversation. That's probably a show long, DK, when we start talking about the anthem and kneeling and everything else. But the cause of it is what we need to look at it, of why. You know, and I know people have kind of skewed it because they're saying Cap had, you know, hadn't started and hadn't played. But it's the original reasoning of why is probably a deeper conversation one day, DK.
Yeah, no question about that. And once again, if you want to leave a hey moan, you know, do it through comments. That's the best way. We will see them. We might respond to them on the spot, but we also might set it aside for a show. Moan, let's do it again tomorrow.
I'm with it if you are, DK.